Our assessment was that the process, in fact, up to this point, has been very free, devoid of violence, and I think very significant stages of the electoral process were characterized by a high level of transparency, in spite of, you know, some difficulties, of course. You know, so it is great. I think these elections mark a consolidation on the results of the legislative elections in 2007 and marks a clear departure from the past where, you know, elections were shrouded in secrecy and marked by mass violence or rigging. I think these elections mark the departure, you know, from that. That is from that angle. On the other hand, the Electoral Commission, that did, you know, quite well to sort of coordinate and manage, you know, these elections, had a few lapses, sort of shortcomings in their handling of the electoral process. But that is also to be, you know, sort of anticipated because this is about the second or so major election, you know, that the newly installed independent National Electoral Commission is handling. And if you realize also that there are divisions within the INEC, the Electoral Commission, you know, because it is made up of the various political blocs, the ruling party, the opposition parties, and parties outside the parliament, you see that getting a consensus within their ranks has also been a challenge in the, you know, in the electoral process, which also affected, of course, certain very important aspects of the electoral process, including the transmission of results from the periphery to the center. You know, so these are some of the, you know, shortcomings that we noted. But overall, it was a, you know, quite a transparent process. And I think, you know, the people of Togo, you know, at least for one, should be proud of what they, you know, they have done.
Now, Dr. Musa, the opposition has rejected the polls with their reasons. Now, do you think that
yes.
It undermines the credibility of the just-ended election?
You know, no. I think, you know, on another point, I would say that it probably rather undermines the credibility of the opposition itself. I would, you know, say that probably there were certain elements that made it impossible, you know, to have a level playing field for all the political actors in this process. One of them is that, and it's also out of the opposition's own doing, you know, that when they boycotted parliament, they boycotted elections that were not represented in the parliament, the ruling party took full advantage and made very critical amendments to the constitution years ago, you know, meaning that these elections had to go just one round, even if the leading candidate had only 20% of the vote, he had to be declared, he or she had to be declared the winner. That is number one. And then now, you know, number two, if you look at, you know, their, you know, process also, there is no term limit so far on the presidency, which also makes people fear that after having 40 years of Iyadema the father, they do not want to have another 40 years of Iyadema the son. You know, so these are shortcomings that have to be handled after the elections, because before the elections, they couldn't be handled, and this is not the time to cry over that. But in the electoral process itself, you see, the divisions were very clear. The opposition candidate, Jean-Pierre Fabre, was very strong in the south, in the Lomé area, in the Palimé area, where he was, you know, winning almost 70%, at times 60 to 70% of the vote. And the same thing also replicated itself in the north in favor of the ruling for Nyasimbe. So the country is still very much divided between the north and the south, which is also an inbuilt fault line that has to be corrected. And the parties have to do all they can to sort of stretch their influence beyond their ethnic boundaries. And, you know, that was a major problem. You see, and Jean-Pierre Fabre, you know, when he, you know, even the electoral the election results had not been announced, had already declared himself a winner, and there were a lot of tensions going into these elections, and I think that was quite an irresponsible act on the part of the opposition by trying to raise the political temperature, knowing very well that this country is very susceptible to violence, you know, by the street. You know, so I don't think that was a smart move by him, and I don't think it does the opposition party any, you know, credit. You know, so the ruling party also had to counter by declaring their candidate the winner. So you had this tug of war where the parties were, you know, replaced the electoral commission in announcing the, you know, results of the elections in their favor, sowing further confusion. You know, but I think one thing that saved the day was the fact that quite surprisingly to everybody, both observers and then the Electoral Commission and the Togolese population itself, the announcement of the results were made directly from the local Electoral Commission centers, you know, which actually made redundant the whole idea of transmitting results. You know, so so the results were being announced throughout the day yesterday in Lomé and throughout over the Togolese national TV, and everybody could hear. And then these are results that had been declared at the, you know, polling stations, and the party agents all had piece of those results. So it was going to be very difficult for anybody to try and then, you know, fiddle with the results over national TV. You know, so that I think also, you know, sort of removed the wind out of the sails of those who might have used, you know, the elections to sow trouble in the country. You know, that is why I say critical stages of this electoral process were quite open and quite transparent, and, you know, that augurs well for the country.
Well, Doc, the ECOWAS deployed a high number of security personnel to help with electoral security. How did that go, and what was the report from your security agent?
Yes. Precisely. In fact, we are now just receiving the final briefing, you know, the midterm briefing of that security contingent in the hall. I just came out of the hall, you know, to take your call. ECOWAS deployed about 150 senior officers from the military, from the gendarmerie, and from the police across the region, you know, to help the special forces that have been set up here, 6,000 of them, to ensure electoral security. They were not armed, but they were all over the place and actually supplemented the civilian observation in the country and became, you know, had very close working relations with FOSDEP. FOSDEP was the security forces for the presidential election that the Electoral Commission has set up to ensure electoral security. So their presence had two, you know, main purposes. The first one was actually to reassure the, you know, population, because many of the electorate, when ECOWAS deployed a fact-finding mission here about 2 months to the election, they said they were never going to vote because they didn't have confidence in the security agencies here, and that if ECOWAS did not deploy security forces, they were not going to vote. You know, so their presence was sort of a reassuring gesture to the people, you know, that allowed them to, you know, come out to, you know, to vote in their numbers. The other was to link up with the observer missions all throughout, from ECOWAS, from the European Union, from the, you know, other international observers, to make sure that they became a reference point to the local security agencies in case there was any trouble. So their presence was very, very, very critical. You know, but another thing I would say, you know, is that if you looked at the pattern of voting during the legislative elections of 2007, the turnout was about, 70 to 80%. This time around, the turnout was quite low. It was on a national average, it was reported to be about 64-65%. And the South rather turned out poorly, about 48% turnout in the South. And I think that hurt the opposition candidate more than the ruling, you know, party also.
Was ECOWAS pleased with the entire vote process in Togo, and will that serve as an example of democratic tenets and rule of law in the sub-region?
Oh, yes. ECOWAS was reasonably pleased with the outcome of the presidential election in Togo. I think seeing that it is going to be an example to the rest of the region is a bit stretching it too far, because, in fact, Togo is very much still in the cutting its teeth when it comes to managing elections on its own. The region has had very exemplary electoral processes in places like Ghana, in Cape Verde, in Benin, and others. And you cannot compare the level of professionalism, the level of transparency, and the level of political maturity in these countries to what we have just witnessed. But comparing what has happened to past elections in Togo, this was a very significant move forward in the process of consolidating democracy in this very fragile environment. And I think if the stakeholders in Togo are able to build on what they have, you know, done this time round, I think by the time we come round to the next election, Togo would have done a lot, particularly if they seize the opportunity to carry out more reforms to institutions in the country, the democratic institutions, and also reform the security agencies in the country to make sure that they are accountable to the civilian authorities and that they adhere to human rights and all that. I think that will create a very good environment for the future. That is number one. And number two, I think that the parties should stretch their appeal beyond their local basis. You know, this regionalization of political parties and ethnicization does not help the cause of national reconciliation at all. And, you know, that was another weakness that we observed, the pattern of voting and all that. So these are still sort of structural deficiencies in the democratization process and also in the electoral process in the country. And I think there is time between now and the next legislative elections to try and then, you know, put some of these, you know, problems behind them. If they do that, then I think that then Togo will be joining the community of democracies, you know, fledgling democracies in the West Africa region.